Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, we thank you that you are here with us today. Open our ears, open our hearts to receive your word, the daily bread, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, this morning I want to talk to you about the Alpha and the Omega. And we read this verse, and Jesus declares in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." So Jesus declares, and there's at least three times in the book of Revelation, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," or "I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and I am the last." This is who God is. This is our God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And by way of introduction here, just bear with me before we go into the three main points this morning, but give me about 10 minutes for the introduction here. I think it will be very helpful to just see that because it's very pictorial and it helps you and I to, it helps me anyway, to look at it and to remember. I hope this presentation will be helpful as in a way, by way of introduction. So in the scriptures, as we know, Jesus says, "I'm the Word." Everybody say, "Jesus is the Word." So he's, everything began with God, right? Everything began with Jesus because all things were made through him. So I want to take you through the first verse of the Bible where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And what I want to bring your attention here is on the screen, on this third slide. The PowerPoint should already be open, I think. Okay, all right. Yep, okay, but I need the, it's because it's got a bit of a, sorry, it's just, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 1, and what you're about to see on the screen is just the bilinear verse of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We got it? Keep going. All right. Thank you, Lord. So the significance with this verse is that in that verse, it'll be easier if I showed it to you. That's the reason why I had it on the screen. We're almost there. We got it? All right, let's go. Like I said, this is just to help us to have a visual representation of what I want to share this morning, okay? So if you can go to the next slide there. And so this is the verse in Hebrew. And I just want to just quickly take you through each word, and the literal translation comes underneath the Hebrew that you see starting from your left. So the first one being "in beginning," the second being "created," then "God," Elohim. And then there's a word here, there's a Hebrew word that's not translated. And so there's a couple of arrows there. And then we have "the heavens," and then it says "and." And again, there's a section portion there that is not actually translated in English. And then you have "the earth." So this is where you get, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But what I want to bring our attention here this morning is in the Hebrew, as you see, if you see right in the middle of that verse, there's two letters there that are not translated in English. And these letters, in English, we would say it's the A and the Z. And in this case here, it's the Hebrew alphabet. It's the Aleph and the Tav, which basically is the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, the reason why I want to bring this attention to you is Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." So just could, next one, please. And so that particular word, as you can see, if you click next a few times here, you will see it's the Aleph and the Tav. Keep going. And and the equivalent of that in Greek, which is where how Revelation was written in Greek, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." But the interesting thing is it's actually a Hebrew thought written in Greek. So the equivalent is, of course, alpha and omega. And in English, our equivalent will be A and Z. Does that make sense? So what it is, really is, it is saying he's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, he's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, or any alphabet for that matter, okay? So he's the first and the last. What is the significance of that? And the other thing that I want to bring out to your attention again is that that word appears in the Bible over 7,000 times, but not once translated in English. And we'll just have a look at as to why that is the case. Okay, but next slide here. So the Alpha and the Omega is the Aleph Tav, okay? The Aleph Tav is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm just going to read here just because I think it's just easier. Okay, it's a term used by Hebrew rabbis to signify completely or completeness entirely. Language is form of words. Words are composed of letters of the alphabet. The title of Jesus signifies absolute completeness. So he's the first and the last letter. So because language is made up of letters, he's the completeness of language, of words, and of the scriptures, because the scriptures were written with this language, with these letters. Does that make sense? So what does that tell us? Jesus is the word. And he's not just a word, he is the word. He is the completeness of the entire word, all right? So the Aleph Tav, or the Alpha and Omega, was with God in the beginning. Next slide. Okay, I want to read this verses here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Okay, just stay with me here just for a moment. This is just the introduction, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 says, "For I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled." All right? Hopefully the scriptures are making sense. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 says, "When then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." What are these verses telling us? These verses are telling us that the whole law, everything that is written in scriptures, is to reveal who Jesus is. All right? And he's saying here in Matthew chapter 5 that one jot and one tittle, that means the smallest alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's also talking about the smallest stroke of the Hebrew letters, of the alphabet, or of the language, God will fulfill everything to the very dot. Because he is the word. All right? He's not just text on paper, but he is the word. He's the living word. So everything that is written, God will accomplish it. So the next question that we would ask ourselves, in the scriptures now, in the next slide, as you can see that in red here, it's in red, the middle one, the two letters, the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, it is found over 7,000 times in scriptures, never once translated. Like Kevin Connor says, I don't think that God randomly puts up words unless there's a meaning behind it, and it's not just words to fill up the book. So could there be, and this question I leave to you, is for you to make this conclusion, but I use this to make a representation of the message that I want to make this morning, but 7,000 times it appears in the Bible, could there be a significance there? And so I believe that I see it, that the Aleph and the Tav here represented in verse 1 right there is telling us that Jesus was with God right in the beginning in the creation, the Alpha and the Omega. All right, so if you can see there, Alpha and Omega is right next to God. He is there. I believe that the verses, the words, all point to who Jesus is and everything that is written in it. Not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away. So what am I saying here? Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. When Jesus said that my words reveal who I am, the scriptures, the law, the prophets, because remember, we're reading the book of Genesis to verse chapter 1, verse 1. He's saying everything reveals who I am. So could the Aleph Tav or the Alpha and Omega in that verse speaking of this is Jesus right there. Jesus is revealed in that verse. And so we see here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, and I'm going to read it again. And Jesus declares, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You see, in Hebrew, in the actual Hebrew language, the understanding of that Aleph Tav, or the Alpha and Omega, is in the language in itself, it's not translated because it is a word that points to something. That means a verb pointing to an object. For example, let me try and explain this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did God create? Number one, help me out. The heavens. Second thing he created was the earth. So you have an Aleph Tav to point what the verb is pointing to. So he's pointing to the earth, the heavens, and you have another Aleph Tav pointing to the earth. So it's meant to be used as a pointer to something. All right, so the Aleph Tav is a pointer, and I believe that it points to Jesus as the creator, as the beginning and the end. And so, as by way of introduction here, I want to say that Jesus is the completeness of the word. He is the fullness of the word. And when he says, my words will by no means pass away, he says, not one jot or one tittle, he means it. And so his word is true. He is the faithful one, and he's the beginning of the creation of God. Amen? All right, and as a result, if you can understand what I'm saying here, he is the Aleph Tav, or you can say he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the completeness of the Word of God. And whatever God says, it will not return void. All right, so point number one, okay, I want to share with you this morning is this, is Jesus, our Alpha and Omega, is always there. He's our Emmanuel. He's always there. You see, 7,000 times, let's look at it from an English perspective here. We read our Bible, but we never knew that word was there, because in English it wouldn't make much sense. There's nothing else to translate that into English, but it's actually there, but it's not there. All right? So what I want to say to you this, what I want to share with you this morning is sometimes in our lives, we think or we may feel that God is not there, but he's there. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, but yet God is there. The Aleph Tav was with God in the beginning. We didn't see, we weren't there at creation, but the Bible clearly says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's right there in the beginning, and nothing was made that was made except through him. All things were made. So God is always there in every situation of our lives. When we don't see it, when we don't understand it, even when there's a translation gap, when there's any gap, anything that's any barrier, every limitation, I want to declare this morning that God is always there. Amen. Amen. And one of the names of God, he said in Ezekiel, it says this, that the Lord, he is the Lord who is there. Adonai Shammah. All right, it's not the Shema hearing here. It's Adonai. Adonai means God is there. He is there. That's one of the names of God. He is always there, always watching over us and keeping us. He is our Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? We've heard this. We've sing about it. God with us. God is with us. He was there in creation. He's there. He created us. Everything. He's always there. He is the one who is in our midst. He's walking in the midst of the seven churches. He's the one who is in the midst of the fire. He's the one who dwells in the midst of his people. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So I want to declare this morning, and that we will fix our eyes upon Jesus, that he, Jesus, is always there. I declare this morning that when we see or we don't see, when we feel or we don't feel, when we understand or when we don't understand, when we are struggling, when we are fighting, or when anything is happening, our ups and downs, I declare this morning that Jesus is right here, is always there. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You have given us your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you that you are the God who dwells with us and dwells in us because of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Alpha and the Omega who is always there. You are the eternal God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You see, the thing is, what Alpha and Omega also speaks to us is that God is eternal. He's everything begins with him, everything ends with him. He's the whole source. He's from everlasting to everlasting, which means he was always there. There was never once a time he wasn't there and he suddenly be. He always there. So I want to encourage you and I this morning that God has always been there, always, and he will always keep us. Amen. Number two. Jesus is our beginning and ending. Jesus is our beginning and ending. All things begins with him, and all things end with him. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I asked myself this question the same way, is where is our beginning? Okay, and so let me ask this again. I'll ask it as if I'm asking you a question, okay? But I'm asking myself too. Where is your beginning? All right, is my beginning what I think about myself? How I see myself? Is that my beginning? Is my beginning just the fact that I was born on this earth? Is that my source? Is that where I'm from? Is that my identity? Where do I define, where do I derive my identity from? What is my beginning? Does offenses define who I am? Does my job define who I am? Does bitterness define who I am? Is that my beginning? Does the hurt that I've gone through in life, is that my beginning? Is that my source? Is that going to determine who I am? I want to declare that Jesus is our beginning. Amen? Everything begins with him. Maybe I'd like to slip this in, is I'm sure you've heard this before, but everything begins with God, everything ends with God. All right, and so because of that, right, you and I are zeros. Right, we got to humble ourselves and we're going to be zeros. But when we add God in front of us, it certainly has value, doesn't it? So without God, you and I are zero. The Bible tells us he's the true vine. All right, and the Father is a vine dresser. Anyone who dwells, abides in him, all right, will bear fruit. And he says that unless you abide in him, unless we abide in him, we can do absolutely nothing. So without God, we are zeros. All right, is that true? But when we had God in our lives, when you add number one, you can be 10 zeros but or 6 zeros and you add a number one in front, you become 1 million. Is that true? Amen? All right, so all we have to do is we are zeros, but when we add God, suddenly the value changes. But not because of us, because of him. So here's our beginning. In the beginning was the Word. He is the beginning. I want to draw your attention here to this word, Bereshit. It's the first word of Genesis in Hebrew. It simply means in beginning, in the beginning. But that word in the beginning is made of two parts here. In means be, all right, reshit. I want to draw your attention to that word reshit. Can you see that in red on the screen? Everybody see reshit. That's the word that means beginning, all right? So in the beginning, bereshit, in the beginning. But I want you to also note that this word, the meaning of that word is not just beginning, it's also first, it's also the head. It's also like anything that's number one, that means it's the beginning of something. It's the number one of something, it's the first thing. But another word that I want to bring out, it means the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits. First fruit is very significant. I won't take you through the feast of the Bible of all the feasts because that even has a lot of significance. But I want to turn you to a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 21. And what does the Bible say about the first fruits and how Jesus fulfills that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 21. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. All right, so that would be the same word here. He's the first fruits, okay? Speaking of that same thing here. For since by men came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So what does it mean that Jesus is our first fruit? It means this, that he would be the firstborn from the dead and begin and restore mankind to be in his image and likeness. He would make an end of the old Adamic race and raise up the one new man in Christ. That will be you and I, where the walls of separation is broken, where we can come together as one man, restored and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? The first fruit represents of many more who will be raised up. So Jesus is the first one to be raised, and he was not just representative, but pointing to all of us who will be born again, believe in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and be a partaker of his divine nature and share not only in the likeness of his death, but also in the likeness of his resurrection by the glory of the Father. Amen. And so Jesus is our reshit. Jesus is our beginning. Jesus is our resurrection. So what defines who I am? Jesus, because he is the beginning. When you and I received Jesus as Lord and Savior, that was our new beginning. Is that true? That's the new life. That's the born-again experience where my old life is now gone. It's passed away. It's washed, completely washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. And now I'm a new creation. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Can you say amen? So he's our beginning. So I want you to see again, in the very first word of the Bible, Jesus is revealed even in the very text, even in that very word, Jesus is our reshit. He is our beginning. So I want to continue on that thought now. What defines or who defines who I am? You see, Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10 says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Then look at this. Jesus declared the end from the beginning. Where's the beginning? The word is in the beginning. That's the very first word of the Bible. In that very first word, he already declared the end, that you and I would experience Jesus as our first fruit and we would be raised from the dead. Amen? Amen. So what does that tell us? God is in control. God knows all things. God knows the end from the very beginning. All right, he's not sort of, let's start this off and let's see how it goes and let's hope something good will come out of this. That's not how God works. That's not how God operates. That's not how God wrote the scriptures or even planned for us. All right, he knew exactly. All right, and God said that every word that he sends forth will not return to him void, but it shall accomplish everything that it was sent for. Amen. So we want to put faith this morning in God and declare that everything that God has spoken, that first of all, the word of God is true. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's our resurrection, he's the first fruit. And because of that, we thank you, Lord, we experience the resurrection life in the mighty name of Jesus. So we believe your word is true. We put our faith and confidence this morning that you are the true and the living God. Amen. And that your word is inspired. Your word is true. Amen and amen. Amen. All right. Without the word, nothing was made that was made. All things was made through him. Is that true? He's the beginning. Everything begins with him. And the next thing I want to say here is Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. To 2. Turn there if you've got your Bible. I don't have it on the screen, but I want to read this, even though we know it. Okay. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we got to run this race. How are we going to run this race? There's only one way. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to declare one more time that God is sovereign. God is in complete control of our lives, and he is the author and the finisher of your faith and of my faith. You know, there's sometimes, you know, I'm sure we've heard messages like, you know, there's God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. And so many times, you know, we have our part to play. And I don't disagree with that. I believe that we have a part to play. We got to cooperate with God. God is sovereign, but I must agree with what God says. That's the reason why we declare that we will win, because we believe what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do. So I've got to agree. I've got to do my part. I got to respond to him. But sometimes all we can do is we can overdo it and try to achieve the promises of God with our own strength. And our own strength, and forget that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. All right? And because of we try to achieve things in the flesh, then we create problems and troubles like Ishmael in the process. Okay, so I think it's a good reminder this morning, even though we know all these things, that God does know best after all. And sometimes we think we have worked all things out. We think we've received so many revelation that we know how to work things out and what's the next step, and we know every sequence of what's going to happen. But the truth is, he is the author, and I must stay connected with him, and I must stay true to what he is saying. Amen. For he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the churches. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read that again. Being confident of this very thing, that he who begun, can you see the beginning here? He begun a good work in you will complete it, that speaks of the end, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you are faithful. You are the first and the last. We thank you that you have begun a good work inside of us. We thank you, Lord, as we cooperate with you. We run this race looking unto you as our beginning, as our ending, as our first, as our last, as the author and the finish of our faith, as the Alpha and Omega, as the Aleph Tav. We look up to you, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you, Lord. We remain confident that you will indeed complete the good work which you have begun inside of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him thanks and praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we look at our lives. Maybe there are some of us here this morning. We feel like, how is that going to happen? How is that ever going to happen? All right, I'm in a mess. I'm in a total mess. But he's able. He's able. Amen. I mean, some of you have already heard the story of my dad, how he came to be with the Lord. Sorry, that sounds like he went off. Sorry, how he received the Lord. Sorry, he's well and alive. Okay, how he received the Lord and how he was finally water baptized after so many years. And the lesson that I learned from this is that, you know, you do your part, but let God do the rest. All right. Sometimes when we try to do too much, we make things worse. And so God is sovereign, and he showed me through that experience that, hey, it's not about you. It's not what you can do. I am still the one who is working. I'm the one who convicts. It's the Holy Spirit who works in man. And so, amen. All right? Amen. All right, the last point I want to share this morning, Jesus is, they all sound pretty similar, right? Jesus is the first, and Jesus is the last. What do I mean by that? Exactly what it says. I'm kidding. All right. Jesus is the first and the last. I know it sounds like the beginning and the end, but I want to say this now. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Right? He says, "You shall not add to it." Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. The next slide, he says, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." Okay? And so this is the two verses here. What I want to sort of emphasize here is, you know, a lot of times what we can do is something like this: Jesus plus. I love Jesus plus a lot of other things. Jesus is priority, but one of my list of priorities. Does that make sense? Because remember, the word is Jesus. Is don't add to it, don't remove from it, don't add to it, because we tend to add things on top of Jesus. So we have Jesus and a lot of other things on top of that. And so one of the warning that God gave to the children of Israel, he says, when you go into the land which I have promised you, flowing with milk and honey, when the people entice you, come and worship our God, and come and, he says, no, don't even listen to them. Don't listen to the false prophet who says, come and let's worship other false God. He said, don't even think, don't even imagine, don't even wonder, don't even imagine how they even do it. Just keep yourself away from it completely. Amen. So when we say we love Jesus, it means Jesus and that's it. All right. For instance, we talk about this morning, we heard about our lives must be built on principles of scriptures. There's things that last. No adding to the principles, no removing to the principles. The principles are true. When they are established, it is true forever. It doesn't change. Truth never changes. So I can't add to it or remove to it. That means if Jesus says, I am cleansed, I'm redeemed, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, and I repent from my sins, then I can be confident that if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just, that He will wash and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen? So this is what He says. So what's the whole thing about? What am I trying to say? It's not what you and I say. All right, sometimes we even know the word, we quote it, and then we add the word but at the end. Lord, I know that you said this, but, right? And then we add on to it our struggles. We add on our, maybe our struggle to agree with what He's saying, or maybe because we can't see what God is saying. And so we have all these things, but He said this. But He offended me. But He started the fight. As a kid, you know how that is? Always when you have a fight with your siblings, you say, yeah, but he started. It was always he who started, all right? So it's the same thing. Adam say, oh, yeah, no, but it's the woman that you gave me. Nothing wrong with the woman, okay? We love the woman, okay? God bless the woman and use them in ministry and in leadership. Amen. Can you say amen? All right, okay. But this is what I want to say. We can allow that. But I just did it, right? Oh, no. Whoa, me. Okay. All right. So it's not what I think, not what I say, it's what Jesus says. What does the word say about who we are? I think this is, we're going to come back to this. We're going to come back to what does God actually say? Let's go back to the simplicity of what the word of God says. He says, forgive, then forgive. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's love. Brotherly church, let's have love. Love from a sincere heart, then let's do so. Walk in the life, walk in truth. Amen. All right, conclusion. Just a few things that we can think of practically. First, I want to know that God is always there even when I don't feel Him. Even when I don't see Him in the midst of the difficulty, He is there, always there. The promise says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The second thing that we can do is look up to Jesus, who is our beginning and our end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Spend our time and look up to Him. Look up to heaven. Now, our pastor has been encouraging us to just go out at night and just look up to heavens and just look up to God. So I've been saying to the Lord, Lord, according to the promise that you gave to Abraham, according to the multitude of the stars, let the nations of the earth be blessed. I say, let Australia be blessed. I say, let this church be blessed. Let my family be blessed according to your promise. So look up to God, right? Because when we look up, we suddenly realize that it's so vast. The heavens are so vast. I mean, the whole universe is so vast. I mean, they say that there's, what, 200 million, is that right? Planets or whatever, stars you want to call, whatever stuff in the Milky Way. Stuff floating in the air, you know? So how vast are they? So I look up, I realize the vastness of God. So I look up to Him. That means my problems are smaller compared to the greatness of who God is. Number two, begin and end our day with Jesus. My thoughts in thoughts. I wake up, that's the first thing. Talk to the Lord. Maybe commit yourself to the Lord. Maybe raise your hands unto the Lord. The Bible talks about praising Him upon, when you're on your bed. You know, so just begin it. Simple. You know, first thought, first words unto Jesus. And before you go to bed, the last thing you do is also, He's my beginning, He's my ending. Jesus is our beginning. So let's go back to what God says about us. Not what the devil says. Has God indeed say? Did God say so? Really? Did He say so? And if you are the Son of God, do this. If you are. So there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of, the devil is adding a lot of here, a lot of doubts. Here, are you sure? Twisting here, twisting there. By the end of the day, let's go back to what God says. You might feel like, oh, you're not worthy. Or you've made too many mistakes. Or whatever it is. Or you're not good enough. Okay? Or you'll never be able to. Let's go back to what God says. Amen. So I want to get into the Word and see Christ revealed, because when I see Him, I know who I am in Him, because my life begins with Him and ends with Him. So I want to encourage you this morning. I mean, I know I use a bit of the Hebrew. It's just to impress you, by the way. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right. only Moses was amused by that. Thank you very much. It makes me feel fulfilled this morning. Okay. I don't even know what I wanted to say anymore. But, I think for me, the greatest encouragement when I even use a little bit of the Hebrew and to see Jesus in that word, it just shows me that really we are to seek Jesus in the Scriptures. He is there. He's always there. He's there always. So I'm reading the Scriptures. I'm reading Deuteronomy and I'm like, wow, everything must be speaking about Him. Lord, show me, how is everything talking about Jesus? So I want to declare and end this like this. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is indeed the day that the Lord has made. He is my beginning. He is my ending. My life is in Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you make our day. Not the devil, not any man, not anything else, not any object, not anything that I have, not any possessions. In the name of Jesus, we just declare that Jesus, you are my beginning. You are my very end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the Eternal One, the Everlasting One. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'd like to, amen. Let's give Him praise, amen. I'll sing a song. Can I get the musicians, please? And I'd like to end with this song. We started out the message and we said that God is here even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it. He is here. All right, so I want to sing this song, You Are Here, in C. All right. Yeah, Waymaker, sorry. Waymaker. And I don't know if we have sung it. There's an additional bridge that I like to sing because it really speaks of what I was sharing this morning. So make sure we sing that part as well. Thank you, Lord. Shall we rise to our feet? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to declare this morning that there are some here that needs to put a stop, that that there be a stop in the oppression of the enemy, in the mind, in the era of the mind of oppression. and even the harassment of the enemy, we just say, God is just closing doors that no man can open. He shuts doors. He is the beginning and the end. He has the key. He determines. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare end. We put a full stop right now to the works of darkness. We put a full stop right now to the oppression of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We declare the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The name of Jesus, the name that is higher than any other name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just declare the love of God right now to fill every heart, to fill every mind. In the name of Jesus, I declare the confidence of God to arise in Jesus' name. Let the love of God bring forth the confidence right now to arise as true sons of the living God, as children of the living God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. For you are no longer slave to sin. You are no longer bound. You are no longer, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. No longer dead in sin, but alive in Christ. Hallelujah. No longer, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. For the old is passed away. Behold, a new in Christ. Behold, the new has come. Hallelujah. He is a new beginning. He's our new beginning. In the name of Jesus, we just proclaim that over every person here in this room. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 This is just the end of the beginning of what God is going to do in our lives this morning. Hallelujah. And the seed that God is putting in every heart is going to sprout. It's going to come forth. It's going to be watered by the water of the Holy Spirit. And God is the God of increase. God is going to give the increase in the name of Jesus. Even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, even when it feels dry, even when it feels dark, in the name of Jesus, behold, the God of increase. Hallelujah, is upon us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, He is faithful. He is the Amen. He is true forevermore. Hallelujah. Our confidence and our trust rest in You, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Be strengthened in the Lord this morning. Be encouraged in the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The presence of God is here. If you need prayer, we will be praying for you. If not, the service is over. Father, we thank You for what You are visiting us in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, we are available to pray for you. Tell my people I'm here. If you need prayer, pray for healing.